What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome back to How to Not Comedy.
Are we allowed to talk now?
Yeah, man.
Yes! Oh, yeah. We've been holding off on conversations because it could be good.
It could be good.
This is the thing. I went to Thailand for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And I got my teeth done. And the woman cleaned it so well that I now have a lisp more than I used to.
Yeah.
Is it like there's more air coming through the teeth?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's no friction left.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I didn't notice it until I got on stage for the first time and fucking air came out of these two teeth here. And I'm spitting on this lady in the front row. And she's like, ugh. And
she's
normally
like, ugh, this guy sounds gayer than usual. It's quite the lisp you've got going there.
And normally, like in conversation, like people would like see it and ignore it. But when you're on stage, the light literally just catches that.
That little bit
of curvature of the phlegm.
They can see it. You get that feeling, like if you've never had like your teeth cleaned properly for the first time, you can feel it like between your gums as well. There's like that little flat bit, and you're like, oh, this is fucked, man. I've been walking around with like all that gunk in my mouth. You never realize.
Well, I had fillings when I was 15, and I only found this out when I went to the dentist in Thailand. They said, you have mercury in your teeth. And I go, what? And they go, yeah, old school dentists used to use mercury as fillings. Like they used to put liquid metal in there and then like solidify it. And I never wondered why my fillings were shiny.
Yeah.
I had fucking mercury in my head. That's the same stuff that like Blackbeard the pirate used to pour down his dick to cure himself of syphilis before he went completely mad and like died.
Yeah, no, it also like gives you crazy brain damage, learning difficulties.
Gives you a lisp.
Causes cancer.
makes you become a comedian. Like,
You can owe your career to your dentist.
I went doolally. I had four mercury fillings in my head.
And that's why they say like you shouldn't eat shark or whale or anything like that because it's full of mercury because it's been in the ocean for ages. So it like builds up in the shark.
Wait, so there's mercury in the ocean?
There's mercury in the food chain in the ocean. Like different things absorb it. And so those things get eaten by other things, and the longer that thing's around, so like a shark eats pretty much everything, right? It's top of the food chain. So it's eating all the other things that have tiny bits of mercury in it, and it sort of just stacks up until you've got like a shark is rocking around full of mercury.
Oh, so that's what I wanted to see in Terminator 2. Just a great white shark versus the T-1000. Just that liquid mercury that would stand no chance. You'd never eat sharks. Okay,
I should probably introduce you as well. We've got Christian Elderfield on the podcast today.
Welcome back, dude. We're
thanks
in
very
the
much
club
for having
now.
Me, fellas.
Yeah.
How's it been hanging?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Thank you.
Sick show last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, man. It was pretty good.
Christian hosted.
Yeah, it was fun. We were talking earlier, like, Aussies never like to sit at the front.
No.
And if they do, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's never good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a guy last night came in. It was like four country boys. I spoke to them afterwards. Apparently, they're celebrating their 21st birthday. And I saw them at Finnegan's up the road, just fucking munted on MDMA. Yeah. But one of them came in, sat directly at the front row, halfway through a joke, just before the last act, and he sat there just bold as brass, just with his beer in his hand, cross-legged, fucking, like, arms open. And I go, oh, look at this fucking Viking coming up and sitting right in the front row. And he just goes, oh, yeah, you're going to make fun of me with your little comedy bits, are you? Yeah. And I turned around, I pointed at the sign. I was like, this is Newcastle Comedy Club. This is what we do here. Oh, yeah, fucking. Yeah,
I know. I said he could have a go of it. He was like, oh, I could do that type of thing.
Yeah, and, did he?
I
remember that bit.
And his mates were all up in the back because they came in at halftime. I was standing in the foyer and they came up and I was like, look, we can do you like half price tickets or whatever. And they're like, yeah, we're keen. I'm like, but you have to shut up. I was like, because they looked, you know, they were half cut. And I was like, these are the rules. Like, please just don't talk or I'm going to have to kick yous out and I'm going to regret letting you in. Three of them were well-behaved, but that was the guy whose birthday it was that came up the front, and he was a bit more sloshed.
yeah.
than the rest of them.
I mean, as he should be.
And yeah, walked up, sat straight in the front row, started giving you shit. So I just went straight to his mates and I was like, you got to go get your boy. Otherwise, because if I go do it, he's out. And yous are all going to be out. And they're like, all right, fuck. So his mate came up and, like, grabbed him by the collar dragged him back away.
I remember he was so polite about it as well. His mate was just like, yeah, you fucking take the piss out of me with your comedy stuff. And his other mate, who was younger than him, I think, just went, I'm sorry, yes, come with me and sit down here quietly and not be so fucking munted. Yeah.
But they were good, pretty well-behaved after that. They, for the most part, shut up. A couple of times I started talking, Elliot was like, come on, be quiet. Yeah,
Elliot was so nice and polite to them. Like, Elliot's like one of the politest people I've met in comedy. And
He's on stage. Until he's on stage, then he's a little cunt.
Really?
It's like that one step onto the stage, a switch flicks, and he just turns into the devil.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, shit, what has he done?
Oh, dude, I've seen him, like, if he gets heckled, he goes for the throat, man. Yeah. Like, he does not fight fair either. He'll,
he gets malicious.
He
attacks people on a personal level. That's really good.
Such a good quality in a comic, though. I love watching a comic just, like, go from, this is my axe, to fuck you. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, it's like he sees every bully that ever bullied him in high school in that one person.
Yeah.
And he just unleashes.
He was being so polite last night. He just went over to clearly the four people that bullied him in high school. Yeah. please, look, just come in. He did it like six times. Mm. Yeah, every time it was like, yeah.
They're lucky it wasn't James, because James would have two and out. He doesn't give a fuck.
Get the fuck out. Yeah, Aussies never like to sit at the front of a comedy club. They always go for the back. And I've been doing cruise ships for a little bit. And sometimes you get half American, half Aussie. And Aussies will always sit at the back. The Americans, they're always up the front. They're like, fucking yeah, comedy, we love this. And I always have a line for it as well. I was like, give me a cheer, Aussies. And then give me a cheer, Americans. And all the front row will be like, woo! Yeah. And I'll be like, look at you at the front line, like every war you've ever started. Yeah. It's a line.
It's good. It's good because it's true.
Yeah. Do you get many Americans in the club?
Tourists, yeah. A few tourists.
Not heaps, but, one or two every couple of shows.
Cool.
Sam Talent was here and there was a bunch of Americans that turned up to watch him.
Oh, great. Yeah. I saw him in Sydney. I was hosting a show and he headlined it and fuck, he's good.
Yeah.
He's so good. Yeah, it's one of those acts that get up and you sit there with all the other acts. You go, what the fuck are we doing? Yeah. This guy's amazing. It's so good. He had a joke that he had a trans joke, which was so good. So good. He goes, trans people, you seen these people? You seen these people? Yeah, a woman with a penis. Finally, a woman you can trust. I was like, dude, so good. I'm like, you would get cancelled for that in Australia and in the UK, but in America for some reason. Free speech, man.
Yeah, I think it's starting to swing back the other way now.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone's kind of had enough of it.
Really? You can feel it?
Yeah. I did a show a couple of weeks ago, Ethan and I did. I shouldn't say just me. It's me and Ethan. Uh-huh. Called No Holds Barred. And it was, like, advertised as do not come if you're easily offended. Like, absolutely no rules. Like, comics can say whatever you want. Like, if you wanted to get up here and say the N-word, you can get up here and say the N-word. Like, that was
good luck with the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
yeah. If you bomb, then it's because you said the N-word on stage
and
it wasn't funny. But you've got absolutely, like, there's no barriers from, like, me.
So what happened? It sold out?
It fucking crushed, dude.
Really?
Like, we didn't sell out. We sold 50 tickets, but, like, the crowd was down. Like, big pops, like, fucking Ben McLennan opened with a joke about pedophiles.
Yeah, nice.
Just got the place fucking rip-roaring.
Brilliant.
Like, straight off the bat.
Oh, man, I would have loved to have done that.
Yeah.
I've been writing a lot of dark stuff recently. Like, it's...
Every comic that we talk to is like, yeah, I want to do that show.
Oh,
like,
dude, I wrote all these abortion jokes because my my girlfriend got one just before we went to Thailand.
Yeah.
And she'd been feeling sick for a couple of weeks, and she's like, I don't know what it is. I feel hazy all the time. I can't concentrate on my work. It might be this, that, and the other. I was like, maybe you're pregnant. And then she went and got a test. She was. And then she immediately booked in for an abortion. And this is how I know that feminism and equality has reached its peak.
Yeah.
Because she got the abortion and she immediately put it on the Splitwise app. And she's like, we're sharing the cost of this. I was like, oh, I'll get it. Yeah. You know, like if you buy it, the next one's on me. Yeah. You know, we could do it. We could do rounds for that. So I wrote a bunch of them and there was one. She goes. I'm really nervous about going to the clinic. I don't know if it's going to be good. I go, what if I'm with you? She goes, you're not allowed to come with me. I go, well, do you know how you would know that abortion clinic is good? And she goes, well, how? I go, if you go into the bathroom and they have a Dyson Airblade, then you know they got the equipment to get it out.
Sponsored by Dyson.
Thank you very much. Have you guys written any dark? Because you're kind of dark comedians anyway. You are, Mitch.
Yeah,
I know you are.
Yeah,
yeah. What stuff have you got?
So I'm. I didn't do the first show, so I purely set it up.
Yeah,
and it was also like there was two reasons for doing it. One because there was a. One was like a fuck you to a woke room that got started in Sydney that was like being like, yeah, we're progressive, but also if you're a straight white male, you can't come on the show sort of thing. And I was like,
yeah,
okay, cool. Like you're just going to be a sexist and racist. That's all right. Like it's your room. Be a racist, sexist.
Isn't that funny? They go, we're not booking straight white males. Why? Because you're going to be sexist and racist. Well, isn't that kind of racist that you're not booking a straight white man because you think that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it was like sort of that's what gave me the idea. I was like, I'm going to fucking start a room where like you can just do anything. Like
nice.
And then the second reason was to give comedians the opportunity to do 15-minute sets because you don't get a lot of that at our level. It's sort of like 7 to 10.
It's good to spread the wings a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So just giving someone the opportunity to be up there for a little bit longer and, like, have that sort of free flow and that opportunity. So when it got down to it, I was like, look, I can book myself, I can do 15 minutes, and that's great, or I'll give someone else an opportunity. It'll be a great show because I know everyone that I'm booking is a killer.
Yeah.
And I'll just host.
Does it spur you more as well when you get these longer sets? You're like, shit, I got to write more stuff. Because, I mean, like, the Newcastle comedy scene is great, but there's only a certain amount of comedians that there are. And you want that show to be monthly. So you're like, oh, fuck, okay, let's start turning over some good stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you found that? Is it lit a fire under you?
Yeah, definitely. And then we've also got we're doing a comedy fucking talent show. So,
for like audience members that want to get up and try it.
Yeah. So you can do anything, like anything you want. So if you get up there with a fucking flute and play it out your asshole, great.
It's so funny you say that because there's actually a comedian that solely plays the flute in Sydney. Yeah. Have you seen him?
No.
Oh, his name's Richard Lindsay. He's gone like, he had a TikTok and he just put his songs up there with a green screen and they're like silly little, they're so catchy.
Yeah.
So catchy. And he was just doing this and he had like 300 followers for like ages. And then people just found his account and went fucking nuts for it. And he's got like 2 million now, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so he's doing the Sydney Fringe and he's got like this show where he just plays the flute and is at like a fake rooftop. And it goes, my name's Richard, I'm playing flute on the roof. Do, 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 do. And it's it's really silly. It's very clean. It's something different. I think that's the appeal of it.
That's nice. What you want. Mm. Like, that's a good thing about like a lot of fringe shows as well. When people are doing something different like that, that's I think is a great way to sort of like get into doing shows and putting your own shows on.
Yeah, like musical comedy is a funny thing because like the flute's good because the flute's like this big. Mm. Yeah, there used to be, I don't know if you had this in Newcastle, there used to be a spate of ukulele playing comedians.
Like, oh, we got one.
Yeah, we got
one. You got one?
We still got one.
We've got one.
Oh, okay. Because yeah,
I think every scene has to have a ukulele player in it.
Yeah.
By law, it's one of those old English laws that carried over that we didn't really get rid of.
We didn't have one for ages, and then Brooke picked up the ukulele.
Oh, nice! I think at one point we had 3 ukulele comedians in Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah, that was. And then I was in Melbourne a few years ago. This was pre-pandemic, comedy festival. It was a late night show, and this girl gets up. She's in 5 minutes, right? And she brings us this huge double bass. It's like twice as big as her. This thing's fucking heavy. She has to have a trolley to carry it around. She takes it out of the case, and she's got it ready to go. The show starts, and she like wheels it onto stage, and she goes, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I am Australia's only double bass comedian." And he's like, "Yeah, no shit. If you're choosing an instrument to do musical comedy with, why the fuck would you do that?"
Yeah. Let's pick the most. The only thing more impractical than a double bass would be an entire fucking drum kit.
I'm
the only drumming comedian.
Yeah, I'm the only comedian
that does every fucking bit.
That does his own.
You've got the whole set.
Yeah, I'm going to do the whole drum solo from YYZ in the middle of my act. Yeah, a double bass is like a ukulele times 1,000. You know, it's so big.
Yeah.
Why did you choose it?
I did a backyard gig for one of the local open micers around Newcastle. And his roommate was playing music for everyone off a double bass to walk up on like the stage sort of thing. So it was actually like you think, backyard gig, this is going to be horrific. And it was actually not that bad. Like it was pretty good. But yeah, his roommate was playing double bass. And it is pretty fucking cool to get like played onto stage with a double bass.
Yeah, with an actual band.
Yeah. With an actual,
Fuck, I did a gig a few weeks ago at the Leichhardt Bolo. And this was on a Wednesday night. The Matildas were playing, and there was a huge room, and it wasn't divided by anything. So at one side, everyone's there watching the Matildas, and then at the other side, nobody is watching the comedy. And there's a 3-piece band playing us on, like every time we get up. And I'm hosting, and it's just like just people would get up, they would die, and then so that was fun. And then we just decided to have like smooth jazz in the background while we told the most horrific jokes to nobody, just to make it fun for us, you know. And every 20 minutes, they had this wheel. It was called the chocolate wheel, and it had different chocolate bars that it would land on. Yeah. And every 20 minutes, we had to cut the mic to hand it over to the sound system over there. Yeah. So the person running the chocolate wheel could spin the chocolate wheel and someone could win a bar of chocolate.
I hope you're getting paid for that one. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I was the only one that got paid, which was nice.
So you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Everyone else just had to suffer. That's so good.
Yeah,
we had that at an RSL no one got one time, else. Just getting heckled by the courtesy bus. Because we're using like the in-house PA.
Yeah.
And it's like coming through the roof. And someone's in the middle of their set and it's just like, the last courtesy bus is...
courtesy bus is it. Marjorie, you're in the building, come out of the pokies room, get on the bus.
RSL take you home. Comedy gigs are death, like every time, unless you've got a separate function room that's like set up to do it.
Yeah.
If you're just doing it like in the main room of an RSL to like whoever's there, it's never good.
Yeah. Oh God. I did this one on the Central Coast. It was a weird named place. I think Helikalani or Helikalulu.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Or something like that. It was a comic called Cab, a great comic. Yeah. He ran the gig and he goes, I want you to come up. I want you to do half an hour. You're going to be headlining this gig. And I was like, oh, amazing. I go, what's it like? He goes, it's 300 seats. It's a big, big stage. We get food. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, oh, man, this sounds great. I was so looking forward to it. I got there, and out of 300 seats, 6 people showed up. 6 people. And I opened with, like, taking the piss out of being British, like, for me. And then this old Australian lady that I found out afterwards, she was English originally but lived in Australia for, like the past 40 years.
Yeah.
And was like, you don't take the piss out of the fucking Poms. You don't take the piss. And she's heckling, right? She's 70 years old. She's like, you fucking get up there and fucking rip on the English.
She thinks you're doing an accent or something?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, this is my real voice. Yeah. I'm ripping on me. That's it. And you know, it's the funniest fucking thing. I saw at a gig. Security came in and dragged her out.
A 70-year-old woman.
A 70-year-old lady.
You had too much.
Called Marge.
Fucking hell, Bethel.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts. But everyone's got their fair share of hell gig stories.
Oh, dude. I did one on the Northern Beaches for Legacy. And,
yeah.
He's like, oh, it's not paid, but you can do new material, 10 minutes. I was like, all right, whatever. Went down there, bombed so hard, they closed the room.
They closed the room. Yeah.
Someone made a complaint.
Really?
Yeah.
About your set?
It was between me and one other comedian. I think it was the other comedian who actually did it, but there's no way of knowing because the complaint was he made a lot of gross jokes, and that's like me. So I was like, well,
Yeah. I've seen your set.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like it's tilting to one way.
It was probably me, to be totally honest. I didn't even do like my worst material there as well. I was like, they're not gonna fucking enjoy. Like after about 2 minutes up there, a lady just sighed in the middle of my set.
Oh, like, well, you can hear the sigh.
I was like, she was like from me to you away.
Oh fuck!
I was like, you fuck. I was like, there was all of this like hateful things like going through my head. Like,
oh,
I was like,
man.
Yeah. I was like, fuck you, you fucking.
The sigh is the worst. It's this. Yeah. It's been oh god. So I did this. This was my first date I had with my current girlfriend. We went to North Bondi RSL. It was like sunset. It was beautiful. It was summertime, and I'm in the queue waiting for a drink. And there's like I don't know, 5-6 people in the queue. Behind me, and I finally get up. She orders her drink. She's like white wine or something. And the guy's like, "What would you like?" I said, "Can I have a Pimm's cup? Because I'm English and gay, apparently." And they go, "Oh, we're really sorry. This is Bondi. There's a lot of English here. We ran out of this stuff pretty quick. I haven't got any more." I go, "Okay, no worries. I'll give me a second. I'll choose something else." And this woman in the queue just went, that's it. And I fucking lost it. I go, oh, really? You're going to sigh me now? You're going to sigh me? Like that? I've inconvenienced your life by about 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I've got to sigh. And I go to everyone else in the queue. Okay, I've got to sigh. Anyone want to up it? Anyone want a tut? Anyone, can I get a tut? Can I get a tut? Anyone want a tut? Anyone want a tut? No? Can I get it for fuck's sake? Can I get it for fuck's sake? How about a Jesus Christ? No, nothing. Okay, a sigh, going once, going twice. Sold to the rude bitch. Third in line. You fucking asshole. Just wait.
Yeah, people are cunts.
Yeah.
In Sydney, North Bondi specifically. Like, that's like enough said, really.
People
like,
are cunts, North Bondi, that one woman.
Capital of the
Yeah. Have you ever
lost it to someone in public?
Yeah, dude. Big time.
He's done it all the time. There's been multiple occasions.
Yeah, where I just, I try my hardest to be like a nice person, like always courteous. If I can let someone in traffic, I will let someone in traffic. Like I'm always trying to be like the nice person. You can cut in front of me at line. Like if there's a woman and me, we get to the same
love this.
Flow.
This is like the buffer to the really bad.
I always try and like be nice, but like then I'll run across. Like I'll come across a cunt. I will just come across a cunt. And there's no, like, because I look like the way I do, people are like, oh, yeah, this guy's not going to fucking do or say anything. Like, I'll just keep pushing him and pushing me. And I'll let him have, like, twice. And then there'll be, like, a switch. And I'll just be like, right, cunt, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'll just go fucking, like, spastic on them. And they'll be like, holy fuck, I didn't realize I was talking to an autistic fucking psychopath. Like,
yeah, you really lost it.
I was like, this one day, I was driving around Newcastle West, and this old couple did the quick turn onto the road, onto the pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
And I've slammed my brakes on to stop for them. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. That might have scared them. I'm sorry. And the old dude was like, well, fucking slow down. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm sorry, mate. He's like, oh, fucking, kept going. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. And then, his wife's next to me, all right, yeah, he's sorry. And he just kept going, and he went the third time. And I was just wound my window. I was like, oi, did I fucking run you over? He goes, huh? I said, then shut the fuck up, you old cunt. just kept walking.
He's walking away I'm not old.
It went from me smiling and hands up, I'm sorry, to no, fuck you, you old cunt.
It's you're in a dilemma when they're kind of feeble in a way.
Yeah.
You're like, oh god, but then they can be dicks too.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, dude, I got no time for boomers anymore.
Yeah, man.
Do you deal with heaps of old bullshit on cruise ships? It's generally older clientele.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people don't really know what comedy is, so a lot of Australians, particularly older ones, they'll come up and go, have you seen Rodney Rood? Have you seen Rodney Rood? And it's just that this old guy that was incredibly racist.
Yeah.
It was just bad comedy. And that's
good comedy. I love Rodney Rood.
That's great.
And that's their version of what comedy should be. Yeah. And so I'd come off and you just get people coming up telling you like the racist jokes. You can have that one.
You can have that one.
That'll work well in 2023.
Yeah. And I had a guy. It was a Lebanese family on board, and the dad of the Lebanese family came up to me and just goes, "That was a really good set, mate. That was a really good set. Thank you so much for not having a go at the Lebs." Wait, what?
Does this happen every other time?
Come to the next show, all right? I've got a whole bit on it.
Yeah, wait till we get Joel Pierce, Prime Minister Lebanese.
I used to live above a Lebanese guy in this block of flats, studio apartments, and this guy was the nicest dude ever. And it's Middle Eastern culture to be overly generous and very he kept giving me stuff all the time.
Yeah.
He'd come back from shopping and I'd see him and I'd be like, oh, how you doing, dude? And he'd be like, oh, Christian, good to see you. Hey, I bought these drinks. Would you like one? And he'd give me a can of Coke or some weird Asian milkshake or something that he just bought. And he just kept giving me, every time I saw him, he'd give me stuff.
Yeah.
I have so many vapes at home. He gave me so many vapes. It was ridiculous. And I started to feel really bad about it because he just kept giving me all these gifts. And I had to say to him, I said, hey, this is a clash of cultures here, dude. Your overly generous Lebanese Middle Eastern culture is clashing a lot with my white guilt.
Yeah.
Okay. Your generosity and my white guilt.
Yeah. By the sounds of it.
They don't
give him something back, Christian.
I know.
Next time you see him, give him back one of the vapes that he gave you. Yeah. Walk around with two of the vapes at all times and say, hey, man, look what I just got.
Yeah, I got a blueberry. Do you want it?
Yeah. Maybe he's gifting you stuff that some other Lebanese person gave him. He's just, it's just the cycle, man.
No one really smokes the vapes. They just get passed around from generous people to generous people. It's weird when you have a clash of cultures like that.
What happened? He stopped giving you stuff, or
he did? He stopped giving me gifts, and I kind of miss the gifts.
Yeah,
it's like you give me gifts, and we take your land.
Yeah, colonize.
Yeah. It's a weird time to be a white person. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the way out, man.
We're on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was good for a while. We had it good for a couple of hundred years there.
Or millennia for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or for the British, definitely.
Yeah. The last 1,000 years.
You guys were conquering.
I know. Yeah. We did a lot of conquering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of conquering going on.
Took a lot of stuff. Yeah. We got a lot of museums now.
Yeah.
Come have a look. Come and check out all the stuff we stole.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And
that's
cool. How the English government is just unapologetic about keeping that stuff as well.
Yes.
Countries can we have our heirlooms back? There's a lot of culture locked up there, and the English guys was like, no, fuck you.
No.
It's ours now.
Yeah. We charge you money to come see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're not giving it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
We found this legitimately. Finders keepers is the way that we run our society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of conquering. People like back in the day, they'd be like, where are you going, honey? Just going to do a bit of conquering. I'll be back for dinner. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. It's weird because now I think like white people have going first in chess. We have. Whites go first, and also fucking up handshakes.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, we're real good at that.
Oh, so bad.
Dude.
So bad. Like, you know that picture of the, like, the white hand and the black hand, the traditional one that's like, unity, yes. Yeah. The new one should just be two white hands going for the fist pump. One's going for the shake. It does a weird rock, paper, scissors thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, COVID killed the handshake, I feel like.
It did. People were chicken winging for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you met a chicken winger post-COVID?
Yeah, a few. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, like...
What are you doing?
Yeah, come on.
It's weird.
Yeah.
In fact, handshakes are actually better because, like, it's the length of your arm. Whereas this, you're getting closer, your faces are close.
Yeah.
Well, you know why people shake hands. It's to get the scent of the other person.
Because
they did a study where, like...
Wait, what?
Yeah, they did a study on this. Like, if you shake someone's hand... They filmed people afterwards. They didn't tell them what the study was about. They're like, we just want you to shake this person's hand and sit there. And like 90%, or I don't know what the statistic was, but most people did like that sort of thing. And it's like you're getting that person's scent at like a subconscious level.
Really?
And like trust the person or not. Yeah.
Oh.
So you're like actually picking up on like pheromones and things like that from shaking hands.
Oh, man.
Which is why it spreads like viruses so quickly.
Yeah.
It's because you're subconsciously, like, you're shaking hands and then you're, like, touching your nose and, like, doing these ones.
Subconsciously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a subconscious thing.
It would be weird to do it consciously. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right in front of them.
Yeah. I like your scent.
Or you just suck finger.
Yeah. Because I've heard the knights on horseback thing. It's to show that you weren't armed.
Yeah.
To kind of offer your hand. And then most people were right-handed, so it'd just normally be right hand.
Yeah.
And that's like the way that we drive on the side of the road. I mean, Americans and Europeans do it the opposite way.
Yeah, because he's used to joust.
Joust.
Yeah. You could only joust on the right-hand side.
Really?
Because you held the joust on that side.
On the right, so you'd be on your horse on the left.
You're on the horse on that side.
Do you reckon they had left-hand jousting or not?
You probably weren't very good.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a stink up. Were you like the way things are? Like the left hand jousting coming in?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
The did you ever watch Chimp Empire?
Yes.
Yeah. They shook hands.
Wait, the chimps shook hands? Didn't
they? Not really shook hands, but like they held their hand out and they do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like a soft little high five every time like they see each other.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, so this must be it must stem from a pheromone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes from way back.
Wow. Yeah.
So these people that are doing the chicken wing, it's like, oh, I can't fucking trust you.
Yeah.
Unless I can just come in and sniff your elbow.
They put it up, you just show me your elbow.
When society collapses and we all go back to like tribes and stuff like that, we kill and eat those people. That's what we do. The chicken wing people, they're food now.
And we eat them on a Wednesday and we sell their arms for 10 cents.
Yeah. That's my priority at the end of the world is where am I getting my food?
Okay, so question, all right. If you were a chicken, all right, with a sentient mind of a person, right, and you grew up with the mind of a person, you're very, very intelligent, but you don't know anything other than being a chicken, and you found out that your fellow people were being chopped up and their parts were being sold, you're like, fuck, that's tough to get. What would you think your wing would be worth?
Ooh. I feel like if... So if I knew what was going on, I'd have to work something out with a farmer, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be the chicken who picks out the good chickens for the farmer.
Yeah.
You know, like those Jews who helped find other Jews in World War II.
It never happened. We wouldn't sell our own people out.
No, it did. Yeah, it was one guy who got really, really rich off the Jews. Yeah. He's like,
how much are you going to pay me?
Nazis, they had a lot of money because they stole it from the Jews. So.
Oh, they did. Yeah. And there was I did extras work, and I was in a movie about this elderly Jewish lady who managed to get a painting of hers out of the, I think it was a Guggenheim in Berlin or something.
Yeah.
It was on display, and she managed to get it back because it was proven to be stolen by the Nazis, and it was her family's painting.
Yeah. There was a crazy operation. This is me just being over 30 now and obsessed with World War II. That's what happens when you turn 30. You just love World War II.
It happened to me.
Yeah, dude.
The older you get, the more interested in history you become.
Yeah. So there was like a full top secret spy operation to smuggle out art from Nazi Germany.
Really?
Yeah. There was like, they made a movie about it and everything. It just came out. But
wow.
Yeah, it was like a full fucking like, all right, the Nazis are hoovering up. Because when it was all falling, Nazis were, like, just grabbing everything and going to fucking Portugal or wherever the fuck they went. Argentina, sorry.
Yeah.
And nearly said something very disparaging about Argentinians then.
Go for it.
I just watched Top Gear where they went to Argentina.
Yeah.
And because of the war with England, English people can't go to Argentina.
Wait, we can't?
Nah.
We're not allowed?
You are, but you might get rolled if you go over there.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people fucking, like, turned up and held them hostage in the hotel. Like, we're going to raid the place. You've got 3 hours to get out of here. And it's like Top Gear. They've got, like, 100 people, like, a crew of 100 people to get them around these specials and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, we just had to pack everything up. We had 3 hours. And then they fucking ambushed them on the road and was throwing bricks at them and stuff. And all it was over is because one of the hosts was driving a car and the number plate kind of looked like it said Falklands.
Really?
Yeah. And they thought they were having like a joke about, haha, we won the war or whatever. And like there was a bunch of like crazy people there. They were like, yeah, they were going to kill them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such animosity. I mean, there's animosity against the English everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was particularly in Argentina. And but I remember my dad telling me about the war over the Falklands. Because it happened in the 80s, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like the late 80s or something like that.
Yeah. It was pretty recent. And
did your dad serve or?
No. It was just he laughed because like he told me that we had like longer range guns, so it was more of a long range gun war than like a war. Mm. So we had long range guns that could shoot 18 miles, and they had ones that could shoot 12.
Yeah,
and so we just went 6 miles more back and just kept firing until we won.
Yeah,
apparently
there was one extra, like there was one like really big land battle where the English just were like fucking the Argentinians up. Like there was like one of the English ships got sunk, and I think a couple of their planes and a couple of helicopters got shut down, and the rest of it like was just all losses on the Argentinian side. But there was this one battle where they were like trying to push the English back into the sea, and the English were like, yeah, no, like we're holding because we're the superior military.
Yeah.
So they were fucking them up. The Argentinians, like a soldier would get wounded or incapacitated, and then the English would go out and rescue him, drag him back, and then they would immediately start surgery and putting him back together and stuff. And one of the Argentinians was like, I thought, like, we were going to get executed. And they're like, no, we all signed the same NATO agreement that once someone's wounded, they're non-combatant and you have to help them.
Oh, we weren't going to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He's like, we weren't going to do that.
Really?
Like, yeah. If the English had lost that war, you'd have all been in camps or bashed to death or...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude, there was like... Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
And like, and the English were just like, and you just didn't call anyone else. Like, you had NATO, like, you could have brought everyone. England's just like, nah, we got this. It's been a while since we've had that.
We're very nice and proper. I want to practice my cross stitch on your left shin. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. But
oh man, I didn't know that was a thing. The only thing I saw that was in Hacksaw Ridge when they went up. That conscientious objector saved like 25 people or something.
More than.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All, by hand.
Yep.
Off the top of a fucking mountain.
Yep.
Yeah, crazy, man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
And they're all beating him up, calling him a pussy.
Yeah.
Just save hundreds of lives.
He's like one of the greatest war heroes to ever live. Yeah. And, like, yeah, he's been a conscientious objector.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, because when he signed up, he's like, I don't want to fight. He goes, I will go to war and I will do my part. He's like, but I'm not shooting anyone. He's like, it's not what I'm here to do. And they're like, yeah, no worries. And they're like, fucking Marine Corps will sort that dude out. Off you go. And they're like, yeah, he got there. And he's like, no, they're beating him up. Like, and dude, if like when you're in basics and stuff like that, like you one in, like, all in.
Put it's a not, bunch of soaps in a fucking pillowcase and just frag that.
Yeah.
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 Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not last in the army.
Brass balls, dude. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah, fuck. Do you think you'd do service?
Well, really?
I did.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the Air Force for 10 years, yeah.
For 10 years?
Yeah.
How did I not know this about you?
Yeah, I just don't advertise it. I don't look like a dude who's been in the military either. Like,
wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah. What did you do in the Air Force?
Avionics technician.
Avionics technician.
Yeah, I'm starting to write bits about it. I hadn't written bits about it forever, but...
yeah, that's interesting, man.
One of the funny thing about the job I used to do, it used to be called... it was a nickname for the trade. Like if you're a mechanic, you get called a black hander.
Yeah.
And if you're a avionics, like I was, you get called a queer trader.
A queer trader?
Yeah. So you'd be on the, you'd be sitting there in the flight line and you'd just hear someone, we got a queer in here?
like queer trader.
Yeah, man, I'll go out there and...
That's a very niche form of human trafficking right there.
Yeah. You're just like... Yeah, I guess I'll, in between splice and wires, suck dicks. I don't know.
Right. Queer trader. Fuck. Wow.
Yeah.
So how many queer traders were you working with?
So this is the funny thing, too. When because you're working on aircraft, the safety standards are insane.
Yeah.
So to close a panel, right, just open up and close a panel... You'd have the apprentice who physically walks out there with the tool and opens the panel, looks in it, and then he'd hand it to a corporal.
Yeah.
Who'd also, they'd have an LAC there, so like a tradesperson, just fully qualified but not a supervisor. He'd look at it, make sure the guy hasn't missed anything. Then you'd have a corporal, and then a sergeant would also walk out. So there was... four people.
Wow.
To open and close a panel.
Dude, that's more people than like operate on a human being at one point.
Yeah, but a human being's not worth millions of dollars if it goes wrong. So they're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
But like if a jet hits the deck and it's, how much is a F-35 worth?
Oh, fucking, like,
what's that? Like?
Tens and tens of millions of dollars. Yeah. It's crazy, dude. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think they're paying like $90 or $100 million a jet.
Yeah.
And we got like 90 jets.
Yeah. Military budgets are insane, though. And they have so, like, I know the American military have such insane, like, budgets, and they have to spend it.
Mm.
Like, they have to.
Yeah.
And there's stories of, like, brand new trucks, like, rocking up, and the driver's there, and the guy's inspecting the truck, and he goes, do you think you need new seats? And the guy's like, I've literally just sat in this thing and I've driven it here. He goes, yeah, but the seat, it kind of got scratched from your belt there. I think you need a new seat. We'll put in for a new seat.
Yeah.
And they're just replacing shit, like buying and selling stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because anything you don't spend, it was the same in our Air Force. Like anything you don't spend doesn't go into next year's budget. It gets taken away from the budget.
Yeah.
So it's
so you got to keep spending to be like, no, we need that money because it all got spent last time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. We had it one year. They were like, all right, we've got, we need to find something to buy.
Yeah.
Because we're under budget this year. And I think we we wanted a new tow vehicle, like a vehicle for towing jets, because it was actually pretty fucking hard to get those. There was only like one or two in the unit.
Yeah.
And if people were using it, you would, like, it was always like a whole thing. It's like, let's get a new fucking one of those. And I'm like, oh, no, we'll just buy a van that doesn't get used instead. So they just bought a vehicle that no one could use. And we're like, what the fuck, cunts?
Yeah.
Like, it was something like that we really needed. And they're like, no to that. And then they got something that we really didn't need and it just didn't get used. And we're like, what?
Oh, man, that's, yeah.
Fucking it's, oof.
You ever bought something you didn't need?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time. It's fucking... I just spent $170 on a video game, so...
On a vi... What?
Yeah.
I thought they were, like, top max $80.
No, I bought, like, the collector's edition, so I went...
Oh, what video game are you into?
Starfield.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't need to know what it is, man.
Is it, like, World of Warcraft?
No.
Does it never
it's like,
end?
Did you ever play, like... Ever play, Skyrim? Have you heard of it?
That's one of those games that never ends.
Yeah, it's like Skyrim in space.
Wow. All right. Skyrim in space. As if Skyrim wasn't exciting enough for people with dragons and like mythical creatures everywhere.
It came out like 13 years ago, so they had to upgrade eventually.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah. That's what I'm playing at the moment. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Cool. But nice one, man. Yeah. I'm playing Zelda Tears of a Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, I've played that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both got it.
Yeah. Good. It's a great travel thing to have.
That'd be great for the cruise ships.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, it's just mind-numbingly dull on like, you do the show, and the show, like, it goes how it goes, and then you're only working half an hour a day. So you've got 23 and a half hours to kill.
Mm.
Other than, like, sleeping and eating, you're like, well, what do I do? Especially sea days as well, like, where you can't get off the ship.
Yeah.
You can't play bingo because you're a staff member, technically. But you're also, and you're not a passenger, so you can't do that. And our little cards won't work in the arcade, so we can't go down and, like, play games and shit. We can go on the slides at the top of the ship, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, I'm the youngest comedian on board by, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone who does it is, like, 50 and above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing with their days? Same shit.
Same shit. Yeah. Probably loving it.
Yeah. There are some comics that... Because I'd never met a hypnotist before. I'd never seen a hypnotist show. I started doing cruise ships, and in the first month, I'd seen three.
Yeah.
And they're kind of all the same, really. And... You have to be, like, willing to be, like, just, like, you know, like, one of them was teaching me how to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I could be hypnotized.
Yeah.
Unless I was, like, on ketamine.
And sleep, and you woke up.
I'm already asleep, and they're like, sleep, and I'm like, huh? What are you talking about?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to perform a miracle. I'm about to get Ethan out of a K-hole. He's not waking up. He's not waking up. Yeah. But, like, most of the dudes, we just, like, download shit, watch stuff.
Mm.
The Zelda game's pretty good. But it's a very introverted thing to do is to play games.
Yeah.
And comedy is a very extroverted thing to do. So there was one day I was in my cabin. Must have been, like, 6 hours I was playing this. I loved it. I loved every... Mm. Just wandering around, killing monsters, finding treasure. It's awesome.
Such a great game.
I know. And then I'm like, I look at my watch and I'm like, fuck, I'm on stage in 15 minutes.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. And, like, I got... Because you got to do 5 separate 30-minute shows.
Yeah.
So... I get down there. I got the show in my head, and I've just gone from "Let's defeat the dragon" to "Oh, hello, 500 people in a theater that fucking no one's got anything else to do on the ship. So this is where you are."
Yeah.
But the gigs always go well because, like, they've got nothing else to do. So they're like, we may as well sit here and enjoy ourselves.
Dude, I did a 10-day cruise with my wife and her family, and I've never been more bored in my life. Because I, like, thank fuck I paid for the drinks package.
Yeah.
Because I was literally getting up and I was like, okay, what do we do? It's a sea day. There's literally nothing to do. I guess I'll go drink. So I would just go to the bar at 8 a.m. and like, yep, sweet, just get on the beers.
Yep.
They like everyone else would walk down. Oh, what are you doing today? Nothing.
Same shit as yesterday. I'm drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was crazy. Like, it was like before that cruise was the last time I was skinny, and you could actually see it in my face, like through the cruise every single day, me just getting fatter and fatter. Because I got a breakfast.
All of this is boredom, really,
dude. This is just the cruise, man. This is what cruises do to you. This cruise was 8 years ago, mind
you. Cruise physique.
Yeah.
Did you, so this was 8 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because I work for a cruise. Can I say the particular cruise line? Or would anyone care?
I don't think so.
No, not really.
Carnival
Cruise Lines.
Yeah.
And when they came over, it's not actually disparaging anything against Carnival, to be honest, but this is when Carnival came over in America, they have the unlimited drinks package, right?
Yeah.
The unlimited drinks package in Australia is 15 drinks a day. That's how much you can get.
I was doing that before lunchtime.
Get this, right? So in America, they don't, like, they drink, but they don't drink like that much. And in Australia, they had a cruise, and it was everyone bought the unlimited drinks package. Everyone. And between when they boarded in Sydney to the next stop, which was like 3 days later, the ship ran out of booze on the second day. So they had no booze for a whole day. People were going fucking nuts.
Yeah.
The Aussies drank the ship dry.
Yeah.
And they had to put in an order, and there was just stacks and stacks of vans with booze, like just piling it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this whole cruise, they drank so much beer.
Yeah.
And after that cruise, they changed it from unlimited to 15 drinks a day.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Aussies drink, man.
I could fucking drink back then too. Like, I could really drink. Like, I used to be able to do like a carton in a night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a
carton
in a night. What's that? 24 cans?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Are these mid strengths?
So I would like start like through the day. Like, I wouldn't be doing that from like eight p.m. to midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, if I started a day drinking session, get a carton of beer, I could do it by the end of the night, easy.
Man, I've never challenged myself to that. Did you have a massive hangover the next day, or was it just like you drank yourself sober?
Yeah, no, I would get the hangover probably about midday the next day.
Okay.
Because you're still drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still hammered.
We used to go to Ethan's garage when he was living like a fucking hobo.
Smoking bongs.
Yeah.
I wasn't drinking. I was just smoking bongs.
But we're in the garage.
Yeah, you know how that hangover comes the next day? My hangover is still there from the bongs that I smoked 10 years ago.
Me
and our mate Josh used to get on the Pierce, and we would do a carton by like 9:30 and then have to quickly run up to the bottle though before it closed, get another carton, and then come back, and then we drink till like 4 in the morning.
Fuck. Yeah.
Tanya had to like sit me down. She's like, I can't, Dezo, for you anymore. I'm like, why? Dude. She goes, because you drink until 4:30 in the morning. I was like, yeah, fair point.
That's good though. I hate those people that just call an end to the drinking set and then the vibe's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, I'm going to go to bed now. And Australia is such a fucking morning country.
Mm.
And everyone loves breakfast here.
Yeah.
There's all the cafes with breakfast. Everyone's up at like 6 a.m. This morning I saw it. Everyone's walking along the Broadwalk. I'm out there in my car. It was like, I had to go move it. So it was like 8:30 a.m. and you get like the mums in their active gear walk past.
Yeah.
And like one mum walked past and was just like, we should go over there, doll. We just walked 9K and there's a good cafe around the corner. And it's just like 9 kilometers. It's 8:30 in the morning. Why aren't you hungover on a Saturday?
Well, they got to get their energy out because their husband isn't fucking them.
He's impotent. He can't satisfy me.
Yeah.
Do you reckon like sex really like drops off in the marriage? Do you reckon there's a truth to that?
Hasn't for me.
Mitch is married.
Yeah, hasn't for you?
No.
You're still banging?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right,
I make jokes that we aren't, but we do. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like a fair bit.
Yeah. Like, multiple times a week. Like, yeah.
That's great!
Yeah. Especially for me, who has the body of a 40-year-old. Like, my dick should be, like, 80 by now. But
yeah, right.
She's still going good.
Is there anything keeping it fit?
Just yeah, like an old mechanic with a car he's had for 30 years. She still runs good, mate.
Yeah, every now and then you'll have a good fuck session. I'll wake up the next day all sore. I'm like, oh, man, that was a good sesh.
Man, that's great.
Yeah.
That's so good. I had to do role plays, otherwise, like, I couldn't. Because once I start, like, I had this, like, for a string of, like, maybe four girlfriends that I would date. The sex would be great in the first, like, 3 months. It's the honeymoon period. And then, like, afterwards, it kind of drops off. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really, like, in it. Once I start to get to know someone and respect them.
You don't want to do all the dirty shit.
My penis doesn't work.
Yeah, it's hard to spit in their mouth when you got to make eye contact afterwards.
Is that why you were into, like, the swinging and stuff? You did that show?
Yeah, how's the new show going?
Oh, yeah, the Swingers show. Yeah, it's good. I'm really proud of it. It's about my time when I was in an open relationship, and I just got we went to these. We started trying, like, dating other people while dating each other. And then it was like, well, that's just being single. That's just, I don't really like that. Yeah. But we still want to, like, bone others. Mm. But when dating other people, you had to, like, kind of get to know each other. So we ended up going to these sex parties where you just go, you bang a bunch of people. And one. It's like the Costco of having sex.
Yeah.
You know, like, you go there, you get, like, a lot.
Quantity, not quality? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Costco sex?
Just wholesale puss.
Yeah.
You know, one night for 10 puss.
Yeah.
And then.
Emphasis on the whole.
Yeah. And we would go back and we would just debrief with each other. And I'd be like, how many people did you sleep with tonight? She'd be like, I slept with 8 people. I'd be like, oh, I slept with 8 people too. I'm like, she goes, yeah, this guy with a red hair had a really wonky willy. It was, like, really weird. I go, yeah, I think I fucked a redhead as well. It was great. Yeah, and, like, we would just debrief, and we would get excited. It was like being with a mate and, like, talking, like, oh my god, that was so cool, that's so weird. That was really fun, and we kept doing that. And then it got to the point where she went to a sex party without me, met someone, and then it kind of all ended.
Yeah.
But the show is about those stories that you'd go there and you'd just see the most weird fucking shit. Like,
oh, dude.
Craziest stuff.
That story you told me where old mate got your missus to squirt.
Yeah, that's in the show.
Yeah.
That's in the show. Yeah. This guy called Ricardo, this, like, 6'4" Brazilian dude, nicest guy. If he wasn't a nice dude, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, fuck him. But he's so nice.
Yeah.
And, like, he's super rich and he holds these, like, private parties in his house. And he's like a 5-bedroom house near Newtown. And he just lives it on his own. And every bedroom has got a bed in it. It's got condoms and lube for when he hosts these parties. He's got a hot tub out back and, like, kind of astroturf grass with, like, cool little funky sofas and shit. Open plan living room with, like, a love heart couch and a big projector that, like, does all these, like, DJ sets, like, for when people are just ketted off their nut and they're just, like, fingering and fucking each other in their living room.
Yeah.
And everyone's naked at this party. Everyone's naked because this girl walked around and went, fucking everyone get naked, and just started taking clothes off her. And she was so hot. I looked at her and I go, you have the best tits. And she goes, do you want to touch them? Yes. Yes, I do. They are lovely. Oh, great. Yeah. And then everyone's naked apart from Ricardo, who walks out of a side room and he's got, like, silver shorts on, these big moon boots, which make him, like, 7 feet tall, and this big blue wig on. And he gets out a caution wet floor sign, puts it in the kitchen, and he goes to the whole party. He goes, who wants to get wet? And people who haven't been before just turn around. We're like, what? Like, I'm so curious. Like, a crowd of, like, 25 people, and the girl with great tits that took everyone's clothes, I went, oh, I do. And she stands up against the kitchen counter. She puts rests her hands against it, arches her back, and puts her bum out, and Ricardo licks his fingers and goes, who's ready for a show? Everyone's like off their mind on Ket, right? We're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
He sticks his fingers inside and just within 15 seconds, it's just Niagara Falls all over the kitchen floor. Fuck, I'm glad he's got that sign. Like, OH&S would be on that shit immediately. And I couldn't believe it. And then he did it again, and it just came out, and I was like, this guy is responsible for the Lismore floods. Definitely. Yeah. This guy is just creating water out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time, she was so impressed by this. She went up to him and she goes, oh my God, Ricardo, I've always wanted to squirt. I've never been a squirter. I've always wanted to. That was amazing to watch. And he goes, get up against the counter. So she goes, ooh, puts her hands up, arches the back, the bum goes out, and he gets his fingers, puts it aside. 20 seconds later, she's squirting, but she doesn't squirt downwards like a lot of girls would. She squirts backwards.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was backwards squirters, right?
Yeah.
And opposite her ass was the fridge. And Ricardo is in like his mid to late 40s. He's got two kids. He's no longer with the mum anymore.
Yeah. They live
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right?
She just comes in with the kids and this shit's going down in the kitchen. It's like, no.
Tommy, go do your homework. What have I told you about squirting in the kitchen? So like she squirts against the fridge, and on the fridge, his little kids have like done like felt tip crayon drawings.
Yeah.
And
now they're watercolor.
Oh fuck. And like she squirts back and the spray just goes all over this kid's drawing and it's held on by like the weakest magnet because like the sudden splash of water.
Yeah.
This drawing just starts edging down the fridge until it gets on the floor and like the stick figures with like the words I love you daddy are now smudged on the floor, which I'm sure is a phrase that this guy has heard a lot from a lot of different women.
Yeah.
There was another time as well where this was like, I've been to his house a few times and I went to this sex club and he had the after party and I took my friend Jessie along. So it was like me and her. And she's so fucking cool, man. She's so cool. And we went in and we ended up having like a fivesome in this small room. It was like me, Ricardo, and these three girls. And it was my friend Jessie, this Ukrainian girl, and this other girl called Steph, I think. And we're in there, and Ricardo goes down on my friend Jesse and just goes, your pussy, it is beautiful. I have to make a mold. And Jesse's from New York, right? And she's just like, okay, I'm up for that. Why not? You know? And like he takes her hand and takes her out of the room. I'm in there for like 20 minutes, and then I go, I'm like, I need a drink. So I go in the room, I go in the kitchen, and it's open plan, and I'm kind of a little bit out of it. I go up to the sink, I get a glass on the side, I put some water in it, I turn to see Jessie. She's sitting like one ass cheek on each stool, on two stools, right?
Yeah.
And Ricardo's down in between her, and I see Jessie, I don't see Ricardo at first, and Jessie's like, oh, hey! And I go, how's it going? And we high five, and then I see Ricardo get up, and he goes, it is done. It is done. And he holds this mold up, and he's blowing on it like a hot cup of tea, like, and he puts it on the side like a pie out of the oven waiting to cool. And he's done this so much that he's got like a wall of vaginas above his workstation, like the there's an art installation in Mona Museum in Tasmania. I think it's literally called the Cunt Wall, and it's that with just a ton of vaginas.
Yeah.
And he's just got that. Of his own making, like above his screen. Yeah. These stories aren't particularly relatable, but they're gross and disgusting and fun to tell.
How did you find out about that place?
I had a friend who was a cam girl, and I was always fascinated by her stories all the time. Because, like, you get guys that basically, like, she would be online in chat rooms and she would hang out in this, like, virtual corridor. And guys would log on, they would look at her, and they would take her away for a private chat. And she would make so much money from this. And she goes, I go to all these sex parties, whatever. And when you're like, I was always in a relationship, and then I became single. I was like, right, I'm coming with you. It's going to be great. She went there with her boyfriend. I went along. I found a girl to come with me. And yeah, it was so much fun, man. It was so much fun. And then I just got like, wow, I'm so into this. And then I was like, right, I'm going to meet a girl, and I'm going to get her into this world. So I met someone, I got her into it, lasted for 2 years, and then it sort of ended, and I haven't really done it since then.
You haven't done it again?
I haven't really done it. It's been like maybe over probably like 12, 18 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I've been to one. But I've still got this swingers show.
Are you keen to get back into it, or are you just like, that was a thing that I sort of went through and now I'm moving on, or?
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Like, not just, like, the sex, but what would happen there. Like, they had a sex harness on the top level of this club. And there's a one-way mirror, right? You could see in, but they couldn't see out.
Yeah. This is the same club that Zoe went to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I've got a friend who's been
there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you could see, and they can't see out. And I'm standing there. I'd befriended a guy there. Like, we'd, like, chatting, we'd laughing, we're, like, totally on the same wavelength. And our laughs are, like, reverberating throughout the whole place. In fact, we had a staff member come up to us and go, can you please stop laughing? It's putting the newbies off.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, if I heard someone laughing, I'd be like, they're laughing at my dick. Like, it would be, no question.
And there was this couple, there's, like, different couples, like, have used this sex swing. Like, I've seen, like, really hot couples in there, like, oh, man, this is good to watch. And then there'll be, like, a 75-year-old couple, and you look at them and you go, good for them, you know. But there was this, like, really hot chick. She's on the sex harness, and there's a guy in there with her. He's just finished going down. He's got up, but his land. It's like he's having trouble with his landing gear. It's not working. And me and this guy are outside, and we're commentating on what's going on. We're just like, just like sports commentators on a game, you know, like
Joe Rogan.
Like. Oh, he's having a really, really hard time focusing, guys. He's really going to have to really channel it in if he's going to bring this one home. Yeah, you're right, Link. Yeah. He's going to have to focus if he wants to achieve the goal or whatever. Like, but what we didn't realize is that there's, like, a little gap at the top. The wall doesn't go all the way to the ceiling. So even though they can't see us, they can hear us.
Oh, no.
And the guy, like, fuck, we mentioned one thing, and we see it in the guy's face, like that. And he walked out. And he walked past us, and he goes, I tried. Yeah. I tried. It's like, oh, that's...
Poor guy.
That's not what you want to see at a sex party, some real, like, insecure stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It was, I got so many stories from it. So many stories.
You fucking... Man, I'm, like, too insecure. That's, like...
You wouldn't go?
Yeah.
Maybe at newbies night? Sounds like you and your wife bone pretty often.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but I'm too insecure to let another dude... Fuck her. Like, that's
but you don't have to let another dude fuck her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like on that thing. It's like, all right, if we get there, the fear would be, all right, yeah, it's going. And then all of a sudden she's like, she sees someone. She's like, oh, fuck, I really want to. And then, like, I'm in that situation where I'd just be like, oh, fuck, like, I really don't feel comfortable about this. And I'll be like a wet blanket. So I just won't do it. I just won't put myself in that situation.
God, I met a married chick in Adelaide, and I told her about some of these stories, and she goes, you know what? I've been waiting to meet someone to try something like this with my husband. And I met a girl that day, and we'd just been hanging out. We're at the table, and she goes, and the wife goes, this is the night we're going to do it. And she ordered a taxi. We get back. The whole way, the husband is just, like, really quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wife's like, are you okay, honey? Yep. I'm all right. I'm right. And then we get into the house. They live fucking miles away. This is Adelaide Fringe. They live miles away from Adelaide Fringe. We're in there for like 40 minutes, like the taxi. And the girls start like making out. They start undressing. They go into the bedroom. And the husband comes into the kitchen. And we start chatting. He's a really cool dude. Obviously, he's a bit nervous.
Yeah.
And he's pouring us whiskeys. And he goes, so, you want to do this? And I was like, Yeah. If you're comfortable with it, man, why not? And he downs the whiskey, and we go into the bedroom, and he starts getting with the girl that I was with that day, and I start getting with his wife. And about 5 minutes pass. We're all drunk, by the way. Like, we had a lot to drink throughout the whole day. Mm. 5 minutes pass, and all I hear is, stop fucking my wife!
Oh.
This guy finally, it broke him.
Yeah.
And like, it just, and I was like, whoa, holy shit, okay, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Get out of my fucking house!
Oh, no. God.
So I pick up the stuff, like, the other girl's like, I'm coming with you. And I'm like, all right, cool, yeah. Great. So we end up going.
I'm not coming with him.
Yeah, so we ended up just like leaving, and some people like they
that
try.
Is a dude that wanted to fuck another girl,
yeah,
and then once he realized, oh, this isn't, oh fuck, oh, what's going on, oh fuck,
yeah.
It'd be funny if he nutted and then he started screaming.
I think that's what would have happened. I think that's exactly what happened. You got the post-nut clarity. And he's like, oh, my God.
It's such a dude thing to do as well, to be like, yeah, this benefits me. Oh, fuck.
Wait a
my
minute.
Wife's involved as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so dumb.
Yeah.
You just don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean.
Well, my partner's a bit of an exhibitionist. I'd go in the swing. I'd, like, in front of other people, I don't care about that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My last partner was just like, let's do whatever the fuck we want to do. But it's different with my current partner.
Okay.
I think I'm a bit more fucking protective. Yeah,
you love her.
Yeah, I love this one.
Yeah.
I love this one a lot.
I love
you
this
fucking
one.
Homo. So gay.
Yeah.
But your parents are swingers, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Do you know, or do you think they are?
I assume, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They haven't outwardly been like, we're fucking other people.
Right. I think like a lot of like middle-aged parents are probably like that. Like, you've been with the same person for like decades, and you must be like, dude, nothing's gonna ruin this.
I think it's also because, like, back in the day, you would get married so early, like, so you didn't really get an opportunity to sort of spread your wings and do that stuff. Like, it's on my side of things as well. Like, I am like, it's hypocritical, but I'm like, oh yeah, we're definitely down for a threesome with another girl. That's easy. That's easy. But like, if the caveat is like, if we're gonna have if we're gonna do it with two girls, then we got to do it with two guys. I'd be like, well, then we just can't do it. Like, I'm just too insecure.
You think that's an insecurity thing on your part?
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Yeah,
100%.
No, he's just worried he's gonna
watch. If I looked like you, it'd be fine.
I think you're worried you're going to like the dude too much. You're going to find out some things about yourself.
Dude, I'm like...
God damn.
Yeah.
Might be swapping teams.
Maybe. But I don't think so. Because, like, you know what? You'll do the porn test. You're like, you'll give it a good hard look. Like, is that dude's cock delicious? Does it look delicious? No, it doesn't.
The weird thing I found is, like, if I had a nice interaction with the dude, then I'd be like, oh yeah, you go for it.
Yeah.
You can have sex with my sweet baby gal.
You've earned it, buddy. You're
just like throwing the keys.
Yeah. You bought me a beer. Go fuck my wife. Yeah. Just, you know, you're a nice bloke. You're a good bloke. Yeah.
I used to work when I was in the Air Force, there was a sergeant. He was a swinger, and he'd always talk about, like, oh yeah, people have started rumors about me. And everyone knew the rumors he was referring to, and people would just, because he was gross.
Yeah.
So people would just like try and ignore it or whatever. And then he'd be like, oh yeah, there's rumors that, like, you know, I let other dudes fuck my wife and I'm a swinger and stuff like that. And then, like, he kept dropping the hint, and I'm like, Scott, you've fucking, you're the one spreading the rumor, cunt. Like, what are you talking about? No, I don't. And then, like, a week later, he's telling this story about how they were walking past the store and he told his wife, oh, yeah, you can fuck other dudes as long as I get to watch. And I'm like, yeah, Scott, we don't care what you're into, dude. Just, like, don't bring it up like it's this big secret.
Yeah.
If you're going to fucking say weird stuff like that. You'd be at a barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at work at a barbecue, like doing a work barbecue, like, yeah, sausage and eggs or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, also, would you like to fuck my wife? I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah, it was written on his apron, please fuck my wife as long as I can watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in brackets, I'm not a swinger.
Oh, man.
But he used to invite guys around and not, he'd invite a bloke around for a barbecue. Very common in the Air Force. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, blokes come around, you'd hang out. And then, like, yeah, he'd get you in the fucking hot tub. And then he'd leave and then his wife would be like, all right, so this is the deal.
Yeah.
You want to plow me or what?
Really? Yeah. They would accost the guys.
Yeah. And some would take them up and others would just be like, what the fuck? Oh, no. Wow. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did some research. Swinging actually started in the U.S. Air Force.
Yeah, pilots.
Yeah. Yeah. Pilots just, like, just switching their wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a trust thing.
Wait, was it?
Yeah.
If one of them died while they were away, wasn't it?
No, it was, like, it was literally, like, their brother. Like, they're like, the trust. Like, this guy is fighting with me all the time.
Right.
He's the best of the best. We're the best of the best.
Yeah,
we'll share everything and anything sort of thing. That's what I've heard anyway.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Because I did some... I didn't know it was like a trust thing.
Mm,
yeah, right.
I didn't know that. I thought it was like, I'm going to fuck her as well so that if you get shot down, then it's not going to be weird.
There might be something that on like a biological level as well, like the whole like keep the tribe going.
Yeah, you can take care of my... Yeah,
because there's a lot of weird psychology about like... dudes in war and like tribes and stuff like that and the way interactions and stuff like that.
A lot of tribes, like monogamy is very much like a new thing. Mm. Whereas the social evolution came about. There's a lot of tribes that just like fuck each other. And the way... Like, the evolutionary purpose for this is, like, a woman would have sex with every man in the tribe, and then that child would be born, and no one would know who is the real father.
Yeah.
So everyone's the father, so all of these men will take care of that child, so the woman has all of these providers.
Yeah.
Like, multiple providers, as opposed to just, like, one dude.
Yeah.
Works at Kmart, maybe.
Or a lot of the time it'd be one dude with multiple wives as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's really common. Like, multiple wives.
Yeah, like that Keep Sweet documentary on Netflix. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah. It's this one guy, he had 93 wives, I think.
Fuck.
Yeah. And it was, he had these Mormon families that were growing up and they would say... the head Mormon would be like, I want your 12-year-old daughter to be my wife, you know? And any normal family would be like, what the fuck? You fucking pedo? Oh, he'd be locked up. But then Mormon families, like the mom and dad would go back and be like, oh, the leader has chosen you to be his concubine.
Yeah.
It is a great honor. We must prepare you for the... for the marriage, the ceremony, and like he would just fucking
shaving the pussy. Oh wait, there's no hair there. You're too young.
Well, what are we gonna do with this extra 5 minutes we have?
Has she got a Brazilian? We don't like foreigners.